This is a HeadGum Podcast.
This episode of the podcast is brought to you by the Fine Dining Podcast. Caroline, do you like to dine finely?
I do, because it rhymes with my name.
Caroline, dine fine, drinking water, drinking wine.
With Diane Feinstein.
With Diane Feinstein. RIP. Fine Dining, the search for the most mediocre restaurant in America, is a podcast where comedian Michael Ornelas is traveling the country, eating at all the chain restaurants in search of the perfectly average 5 out of 10 dining experience. The objective middle threshold of where bad becomes good, which, if you listen to this podcast, you're very familiar with the concept.
With a 5 out of 10 experience.
And bad maybe becoming good, as God saves us. Recently, featured guests include Marissa Pinson and John Glover as they review Costco's Food Court. It's a two-part episode that covers everything from discontinued menu items to how many hot dogs could fit in their mouths. And today, his IHOP episode dropped. So right now, head over to linktree.com/finedining podcast and click Bee's Giveaway to enter for an all-expenses-paid trip to your local Applebee's, the current frontrunner for the most mediocre restaurant in America at a 5.02 out of 10 for you and three of your friends. And you can watch or listen to Fine Dining on your platform of choice while you're there. Caroline, who would you take?
Oh my gosh.
Applebee's?
If I got a table for four at Applebee's.
Yeah.
Obviously, love of my life, Nathan, gonna be there.
My fingers are crossing.
Who likes chain restaurants?
I'm getting a nosebleed.
Oh, probably my friend Jeremy.
Oh,
okay.
I know him.
That leaves one more. Let me ask you a question,
yeah,
Kevin.
Yeah.
If you were gonna order an Applebee's right now, what would you get?
I'd get a fried onion if they had it.
All right, you're in.
Okay.
As long as we can share.
Hell yeah. Listen to Fine Dining on your platform of choice while you're there. Enter by May 1st, and the winner will be announced on the May 8th Chipotle episode. That's linktree.com/finedining podcast. We're playing Oh My God once again today on Good Christian Fun.
I want to see Cat
Dog! I wanted to yuck everybody, and I didn't!
Hey. I'm just killing.
Bazinga.
Disgusting.
Okay,
watch
this.
I love
Bazinga.
Jesus Christ.
Bazinga. Losers, in other words.
Whoa, why don't you want to get in the bathtub?
Bazinga. It's Sicario.
You got me straight tripping,
buddy. Are you familiar with, like, Calvinism as a concept?
COVID-19!
COVID-19.
I blow the wind of God, on you.
On you.
Welcome to Good Christian Fun. I'm Kevin.
I'm Caroline.
And we're here to blow the wind of God on you in podcast form on Good Christian Fun.
That's right. And just for the record, I'm blowing it from the other end.
All right. Yeah. That's what's beautiful about God's wind is it can come from so many places and sources. He is not confined to our reality. He can come out of our mouth holes and our buttholes. And that's the beauty of the gospel.
Praise him.
Yes and amen. That was a clip of Kenneth Copeland. I'm sure you're familiar with him at this point, at least on like a meme level, right, Caroline?
Me? Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So,
Nate showed me that the other day, I think.
Yes, as a refresher, he is an 83-year-old televangelist, Oral Roberts University core. He looks like the Joker now and is like kind of the furthest possible example of something that they would like ape or parody on the Righteous Gemstones. Just a complete snake oil salesman. And he blew on coronavirus, and that was a couple weeks ago, and now we're saved, and the virus is gone, and we've just been living in prosperity ever since.
California's reopening? Is that a coincidence? I don't know.
I think not. I think he blew the wind of God on Gavin Newsom recently. But Good Christian Fun is a podcast where we talk about Christian pop culture and music, movies, and entertainment made for and made by Christians, because there's not enough discussion about the Christian faith in this culture. There's not enough for us. Where's my representation? We talk about, ooh, it's so important to see people represented. Where's me? Where can I watch a movie or television show and see someone like me? A kind of like mediocre white guy doing his best who thinks he's pretty interesting, and maybe he is, maybe he isn't.
You think you're interesting?
Yeah, I you know what? Let's introduce our guest, who is kind of interesting. Oh, friends and folks, he has become a fan favorite on the show, I would assume. He is an Adventures in Odyssey scholar, a performer, a writer. Ladies and gentlemen, give it the hell up. Everybody give it the hell up for Cale Hills!
Hey, guys.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, if I reverted to ladies and gentlemen, and I will say now, it's because I have coronavirus. That's the only reason I did that. I promise.
That's okay.
You're so brave to keep working through it. Thank you, Kevin.
You're welcome. And thank you, Cale, for being on the show.
Thank you so much for having me. And thank you for referring to me as my preferred title, scholar.
Oh, we can't hear you at all.
Oh, no, is that
there
true?
It is.
Now we can. Are you holding your phone? You might have been holding it over your microphone.
I must have put my finger over the microphone.
Oh. Buttery fingies.
Yeah. I tell you, the coronavirus is introducing unknown peril around every turn, and recording it seems to be one of the biggest ones.
No, that's one of the things. Yeah, and that's why... That's why coronavirus is of Satan, because I think Satan specifically wanted to target podcasters in situation and scenario. Thank you. Yeah, and first responders.
I think it's important to say that Kevin and Caroline are amongst the great heroes of the moment, because before we started, everyone should know we did spend 20 minutes messing around with my horrible tech setup. I bought a cute little microphone so I could talk to you guys, and it didn't work, but they were so patient and so gracious. And I feel like coronavirus has turned me into a real, like, I don't know the right word for it, but every small thing I'm like, thank you so much.
Yeah, so like, just gratitude.
I love you. I appreciate you.
Life is short.
Yes.
Thank you, M&M's, peanut M&M's, for bringing this to me. Thank you, Kevin.
Thank you,
throwing that beard out.
Is it in that order for you, Caroline? It goes peanut M&M's, then me, then whoever else.
It's pretty high. I didn't even mention my family, yeah, my husband, my cat. Two.
That's true. If like I make the top three, what am I complaining about? Oh, man. I will say, coronavirus tests are free for all residents of Los Angeles, California, and Los Angeles County. And I got one yesterday, and we'll see, listener.
Oh, ooh. You went already?
Yeah. Yeah. Went to Pomona, had a real quick, nice time, took less than 10 minutes in and out, and everyone was very nice and very gentle with me there. So,
that's cool. Yeah, I'm going this week. And then you don't have to go through the nose anymore.
Not through the nose, yeah. I feel like through the nose, it felt like, Christian sexual ethics. It's like a loophole. Can we just do the real stuff? Like, why do we have to settle for this one instead of the one that we wanted to?
How do they do it? What is that?
It's a cheek swab. It's 10 seconds left, right, in roof of mouth. And then you put it in a little vial, put it in a bag, and then put the bag in a bigger bag, and then that's the whole thing.
Can we do a COVID reveal party for you?
Oh, I would love to. Second service, guys. Find out if I have...
Can you have two balloons? one empty and one full of fluid.
I was going to say one white, one black, but I like your way better. One full of fluid. That's so disgusting. Mm-hmm.
Nondescript.
Oh, gracious. Are you holding up okay during the quarantine, Cale? How are you feeling? We're about 50 days into it.
Is that how many? Wow, that's that's a lot. It's a lot of ups and downs. It is simultaneously fine. I'm healthy. Everyone in my family is healthy. Life is very simple right now. My day-to-day is full of the kind of like simple joys, going on a nice walk. I have not jumped on the bread train yet, but things like that. And then conversely, there is like a deep existential fear simmering underneath the surface of everything and every small interaction that I do have with someone. I think for me, it's like similar to the anxiety of flying. If you'll go with me on this for a second, mm-hmm. It's like when I travel, I like wake up at 5 a.m. I'm disoriented. I'm drinking at the airport at 9 a.m. I don't really have to do anything. So in that way, it's positive. But also, I am afraid that the plane will fall out of the sky at any given moment. And that's what it feels like.
Yeah, it's like being on a 50-day flight with no breaks and no layovers.
That's a very good analogy. Yeah, like just being sort of in a contained space, keeping yourself busy, doing stuff you don't normally do.
And watching a lot of movies that I maybe normally wouldn't choose to watch. I watched the Florence Pugh vehicle fighting with my family last week and was very moved by it.
Oh, is it fun?
It's pretty fun. Yeah, like, you know, obviously she's very talented, so she carries it, and there's some like fun jokes, and it's formulaic in a very good way.
That's what we want right now. No, and this is such an apt metaphor, the plane metaphor, because also with lockdown stuff, it is like, okay, we're up from lockdown on May 1st. Okay, it's going to be another 15. And that's so analogous to like pilots keeping you on the tarmac, like, it's going to be another 20 to 25 minutes until we can take off. So yeah, there's much metaphor to be had. The privileged are in first class in their lush houses.
And a bunch of white people are clapping at the end of the day every time.
Oh, we have a birthday on board. Let's all clap for the birthday boy.
Good landing.
And then some.
Do you guys participate in your neighborhood clapping?
We don't have one in my neighborhood. Do you have one? Do you hear pots banging and stuff?
Not in my neighborhood, but I am splitting. I'm splitting time between my apartment in the east side of Hollywood, and then downtown where my boyfriend lives. And downtown, they do clap.
Oh, that's great. I think that's fun. Or also, I heard it gets annoying, like after the third or fourth day.
Yeah. I don't know. I haven't been around it enough yet to be annoyed by it, but
I make it clap solo in my apartment, but
oh my God.
No one yet in my neighborhood has joined me because I like to do it in a secret, quiet.
That's what the health heroes want.
Shameful. That's right. Can you imagine if instead of like all the, for the frontline workers coming out of the hospitals, instead of everyone being like, yay, it's just like a line full of people just like absolutely grinding it up. And that's what the nurses and doctors need too. They want to see that as well.
Yeah.
We have to keep living. Do you think is it possible for us to thrive in any way during this time? Is there any area of life where it's like, this can actually excel? This can actually be better than it was before? All right. Well,
I was waiting for Kale.
Yeah, I'll let the silence. I just can't think of I feel like everything that I was thinking of would be like in some way fake, because I do feel as though it's given me the space to have some perspective, and I have managed to be kind of creative and like work on creative projects. But to say that me finishing a pilot is like preferable to the cost of these circumstances is, that's a reach. But I will say my pilot's pretty good, so maybe it'll all be worth it in the end.
It might be something.
I know, it's like those age-old morality questions of like, is this piece of great art worth the sins that the person who made it committed? And it's like, how many great works of art will the pandemic be worth? Because it's going to have to be a lot if it is. It would have to be like a million masterpieces. It would have to be a million Greatest Adventures by Stephen Curtis Chapman or something like that. Not just one
something
or two.
Something like that.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's something akin to that.
Yeah. It's very much, it's the modern day trolley problem. It's if you could pull the lever to have the train run over upwards of hundreds of thousands of people, but your pilot gets finished, would you?
Except the cost now. Tough. The trolley. I know. Ooh, what a nail biter of a morality question. No. That's what I love about these. It's like, I don't know which one to choose. And the reality
is. Yeah, and like all those people, you know, they're going to die. But then maybe you get like the next good place out of that. And how many more people is that going to save?
The good place specifically. Are you saying the good place because they literally do the trolley problem on the good place?
Probably that's what made me think about it. Kale, have you started any good habits in your quarantine? Or bad habits? I'd also like to hear about those.
I don't know if I've started anything new, but it's been a good chance to like practice some of the good things that I had started doing, like exercising and eating healthfully and setting time aside for creative projects. It has afforded me the opportunity to keep working on those habits without any distractions, which is really good. The ways in which I've lost my mind, I think, are pretty like relatively safe. I maybe will have a White Claw at 2 o'clock in the afternoon.
What?
Hey, alcoholic
which
alert.
Is pretty severe.
<I know. laughs> And it's a White Claw. It's not like a whiskey.
One, well, you got to watch those carbs, Kev. You got to watch your carb intake throughout all of this.
No, you're right. No, I'm in the wrong here.
And it's fun to, I think White Claws are fun because you get to have opinions. You get to create these like small moments of joy where you walk up to the fridge and you're like, am I going to have a lemon or am I going to have a mango? And then you have a kind of like small Great British Baking Show moment in your head where you're like, well, lemon is bright and fun, but mango is a mature flavor.
White Claw affords you the illusion of choice in which literally none of us have any choice at all in what's happening.
And you get to, yeah, exactly. You get to have an opinion on it. You get to form a new part of your personality, which is that I'm a mango White Claw gal.
Are you mango?
You know, I don't know. I haven't had enough White Claw to decide, but I feel like
okay.
Mango
well,
be
careful
where I'm
with
at.
That kind of joke around me because I do take it very seriously.
Okay, so. I'm sorry.
I love the phrase "be careful of that kind of joke around me." That's terrific, Caroline. I'll drop off a case of White Claw next time I have a physical reason to exchange something with you.
Ooh, I'd love that. Oh, they keep putting it like front and center at the grocery store every time I walk in there, and
they know
what you're doing.
Yes, yeah. Of course they do.
Does everybody like White Claw because it doesn't taste like much, and you can still get drunk off?
I don't think everyone does like White Claw. I think a lot of people
A lot of people like it.
A lot of people. I mean,
for the same reason you like LaCroix.
LaCroix? Am I saying it wrong?
LaCroix isn't it canned in Minnesota? So technically it'd be like, look, what would that be? LaCroix.
You got it. Oh, boom. Twin Cities roasted. LaCroix. Especially now. We need to roast them now more than ever, maybe. In these uncertain times, I get that. I feel like something that's been a theme of conversations I've had recently with some friends, and this does tie into Christian stuff and deprogramming some of it. The idea of control and controlling your life has been coming up over and over again in conversations because this is a moment in which, like, and I think we talked about before, Caroline, just like there's this idea of obedience to like the greater good that we're all having to practice. There's obedience to like the society around us and to our neighbors and to the neighbors we don't see or may never meet. And also there's this idea of I'm no longer in control of my life. And that used to be a thing that was always comforted or softened by the idea of like, but isn't it amazing that God is in control? And like the things we can't anticipate, he's got this actually. So I feel like a lot of people are having to die to their sense of control. But I personally am struggling to do it in a way that feels good or healthy. That doesn't just feel like, well, I guess nothing means anything if I'm not in control, you know?
Kevin, when you say that, yeah, that like it feels less in control, do you mean like you are unable to really help very much or like shift the course or like I don't have her control over my days or my life or like.
Oh, I mean more the latter, in the sense of like, yeah, I feel powerless to help in meaningful ways, but also just the idea before that I could design my day-to-day life and I could choose my location, my activity, my pursuit every hour, which is still true mm-hmm. in just like a very in a much, much, much smaller context. Mm-hmm. But it used to be more true just across the board. So I think dying to that, yeah, it's more that latter thing that you were describing.
I guess I hadn't really thought about that, at least for like what I'm dealing with or thinking about. It's, I don't know, the feeling of like, oh, I'm being like overly contained never quite occurred to me. It was just like, I mean, this life is different or something, but all things considered, I guess I feel like I still have a remarkable amount of control over my life or like what I get to do with my day. Mm-hmm. It's just like my little pathways are different.
Yeah.
Where would God normally fit in on that kind of feeling for you?
Well, because I'm not in control, but then I don't really have a sense that anyone is in control and everyone feels stupid. Like, uh-huh. It just feels like the further you go up the chain, it gets like, truly it gets dumber and dumber. Cause it's like, even in LA, and I don't like love him, but the mayor's like doing okay. And I like the way he's communicating. The governor's mm-hmm. been shady, but some of the stuff he's communicating, and then you keep going more and more up. And it just feels like this doesn't end with like, but thankfully, Dad's got it, you know, like it could in more of a theological mm-hmm. context.
Yeah, I feel like what resonates for me in that is like the fear of uncertainty, right? And when I was initially like deconstructing from an evangelical background, one of the hardest things to give up was this idea that there was a certainty to the big picture questions in life, and letting go of that and stepping into a space where there's no control, there's no one to answer to. And like, to your point, Kevin, the options, as much as like when I was stepping away from the version of Christianity that I had grown up with, as much as I wanted to leave that behind, I didn't really love the other options that were available to me either. It's like, well, I suck and you suck and no one, like no one's got this. That's such a, I don't know. I wonder, Caroline, what do you think makes you feel more at ease with that? Do you think it's a sense of perspective about the scale of your life, or I don't know. Like, what? Yeah, what do you think helps you with that?
Yeah, because it definitely feels like really disarming when you stop thinking that like God is intervening or like planning this out, or that like bad things are part of it. And I guess the guiding principle that I had started to think about was the same before this as it is now, which is like, collectively we can make better decisions, and that like the best thing we can do, and like my guiding principles is like, let's just try to save and improve lives as much as possible. There's a lot of terrible things that are happening to people that I actually just have to like take myself out of a lot. But I guess beyond that, I also see a lot of people like banding together or like holding our leaders accountable or disputing their lies or like having public ways, and a lot of people that actually are sharing right information. I guess I maybe I'm like somehow a little bit at this point in the quarantine, like a little bit more of an optimist and seeing a little bit more of like how people are working together better. And like, to me, that already lined up with like my beliefs, I guess, that it wasn't like such a shocker, like a rude awakening.
I know. It's interesting to see this too, as like kind of a Rorschach test for people's different belief systems, like how it does shake some, and you know, like the more reformed or conservative people in the world as far as theology stuff, seeing this and seeing like, isn't it crazy how the purposes of God are so outside of our understanding, and that he would let or allow or bring about this stuff. And then for some people it's like, this absolutely sucks, and I don't feel a relational connection to a god of my former framework anymore because of stuff like this. And even though I had an intellectual knowledge of it, having a firsthand knowledge of it, and when it happens to me and people I know and cities I live in, then it feels entirely different. But yeah, if you are more like Caroline, and it is something where it's like, and probably where I was before too, pre, and kind of getting on board with that idea of not an interventionist God, then this is kind of like, see, it's chaotic. Like it is like, and not like I told you, but just in the sense of there would be less of a cognitive dissonance with that goodness or the idea of someone not being in the driver's seat or having the steering wheel, you know?
Well, I was going to say, but then, you know, just a reminder that you can introduce small obsessive versions of control into your life, like choosing a White Claw or bleaching your hair, which is another insane coronavirus
Kale,
decision that
buddy,
I
buddy, it looks good. I
love it, and I have been just good. Waiting for a reason to bring it up.
Yeah. I can't.
I didn't want to be cliche and bring it up right away, so I'm glad you did.
I can't see the people that I love, but I can grow out a patchy ass beard, and and isn't that good enough? Isn't that a pacifier?
That's so fun. I wonder, like, if hair becomes more of our outfit now that like our outfits don't matter at all. It's like, well, I can put some effort into my hair because I've also done some hair experiments as well.
Although,
what have you done?
I'll call this out. Kale, you are wearing a collared shirt right now, as am I. And it's important to me that I do wear a collared shirt every day.
Well, it's very, I had to look professional for our meeting.
Kevin, do you like ever wear t-shirts?
No,
otherwise?
I'll wear t-shirts on runs and maybe to bed, but not... not in a life context. And I don't mean to be a snob because I think some people look really good in t-shirts. And I think if I could pull off just like a white t-shirt and like maybe a jean jacket or something, like maybe that would be fine. But no, it's not something I gravitate towards because I feel like I just had too much t-shirt time in my 20s and I need to come out of it.
And tank tops.
T-shirts and
Caroline,
tank tops.
What kind of hair experiments have you been doing? Because my theory is at the end of this we'll have entered into like fully the Hunger Games, like people are gonna be looking to go nuts with the like personal looks.
Yeah, I'm very eager to see what people like, yeah, if it will be full peacock mode or if people will be like, wow, when I realized that my clothes meant too much about my personality and my vision of myself, then maybe I had to strip that away and I can just be me. As far as hair experiments, I did a lot of curling techniques. I've been like sleeping in foam rollers, which is not that bad. But then we wake up, it's like full hyper curl, and that's fun. And that makes me, that's like my collared shirt for the day. I'm like, okay, she tried. She's here. She's a professional.
Yes. She tried and she
she's
is
worth
here.
Some. And I also bought this like hair lightening gel that you put on wet hair and it activates in the sun or with a blow dryer. And a lot of people may be thinking of Sun-In, which like notoriously turns your hair yellow or like orange, like a really bad orange color.
Ooh.
This one's a little more subtle. And I've done it before and it worked out okay. And I'm bringing it back.
Folks, I don't know the next time I'm going to get a haircut. I don't know.
Maybe, I mean, you have options.
I don't know if I do. I mean, I could shave is what you mean. Yes, I could like do the full
self-cut.
Race.
You can ask a friend.
Yeah. Well, yeah.
It's looking pretty good right now. It looks like, honestly, I would say maybe give the jean jacket and the white tee a chance. I think we're headed to full Brando territory for
Ooh.
Kevin.
Ooh, a new Kevin brand. That would be interesting. Yeah, like a rugged sort of like workman's Kevin.
like he spent some time
callous tan, steel toe boots.
Yeah, a vibe
same
that
pair
says
of jeans.
He rides through the desert on his hog, but also he spends a significant amount of time on Reddit as well.
Yeah. Or don't get a haircut and just start slicking your hair back.
God, no. That's where I draw the line. I'm so sorry, friend.
I'd like to see it.
We'd love to see it. But Kale, I mean, to wrap up this conversation, do you feel like we were talking about worldviews and viewpoints and how they've either been shifted or confirmed by events like this? Has anything changed for you? Has anything shifted significantly? What's this done to faith stuff for you?
Yeah, that's such an interesting question. I would say one thing that's kind of cool is a lot of the work that I have done in therapy over the last couple years in terms of building out like stronger techniques to deal with my emotions and my anxiety. I'm really getting to see that work pay off, and like, not to, you know, pat myself on the back, but if this situation had happened a year or a year and a half ago, I probably would be handling it much worse than I am now. And so it's very cool and confirmation to see like, oh, these small changes that you make in your day in terms of like, for me, it meant like exercise and mindfulness practices. If you build a habit out of those, then they do come to serve you really well, which is cool. But there's still, of course, like, yes, things about it are very hard, and it does bring up and trigger a lot of bigger existential things. One thing that's really interesting is I've talked to you guys a few times. When I first talked to you, I was like at the beginning of a deconstruction path. The last time we spoke, I was probably in a more angry, like anti-religion stance with how I held myself. And now I'm at a much easier, peaceful place with it. And something that's very funny to me personally is I've started dating someone who is a Christian, and because I've been quarantining with him, it's like, oh, I guess I go to church on Sunday mornings because I like will stream with him. And that is that's new. That's going back to a church is new for me, even if it is just something that I'm doing with a loved one.
Oh, that's so interesting too, to like, because I feel like I've not heard that story before of like someone being quarantined with someone romantically and then them taking them to church. You think the one benefit of this time is like, well, at least no one can drag you to church. But not the case. Thank you, Zoom.
It's quite the opposite. Church showed up at the doorstep.
Yes, exactly. It found you where you were at. It met you in the middle.
But it's nuts, and you guys know this because you probably you've had a much richer like faith life in Los Angeles than I have. But I didn't know, like, at the church that he streams, people do like character bits, and I'm like, is this what church in LA is like? It's like it's like an open mic.
This appears to be a new development from my perspective as well.
Listen, okay. Hollywood's wilding out. People need every avenue possible to perform. And when you take the audience away from the live performer takes away your comfort of not having to deal with them anymore and comes to you.
Truly.
Don't you?
I can't believe characters, though. That's so, wow. Bless them.
Oh, boy. Well, thanks for sharing all that, Kale.
Yeah, you know, thank you.
And I'm glad you're holding up okay. Yeah, and that it feels like, it sounds like you're in an okay place. No one's thriving right now, but you seem to be somewhat healthy and to have a loved one at least during the time. So I'm glad to hear that.
Same for you guys. I'm glad. Yeah. We're all doing the best we can, and you love to see it. You love to see people trying and succeeding, even if it's hard.
Yeah, you love to see it. COVID-19.
You love to see it.
Okay, let's take a break, and we'll be right back with more good Christian fun. This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. Now, Caroline, I got a question for you.
Yes.
How is your social battery right now? Are you feeling drained? Do you got a lot of energy right now? Where are you at with things as we speak today?
Well, you know, when you're pregnant, famously, your social battery is endless, actually, because you're powered by a baby battery.
It's like someone slaps a mag charger onto your phone.
Exactly.
And you can go for like 24 hours more.
I am the U.S. Marines of taking down social situations. I feel incredible all the time. So yeah, that's where I'm at. What about you?
Wow. Well, I'm feeling a little drained. And sometimes it can be easy to ignore our social battery and spread ourselves too thin, which is maybe the zone I'm in right now. And for me, spreading myself too thin is like going to a lot of like Garfield events recently that have been happening over town.
Oh,
with
yeah.
The new movie coming out.
I know you get so excited about those. You got to spread those out a little more.
I know. And I need to really protect my energy and stuff. But, you know, it's worth asking ourselves, what's the right amount of socializing and how do you recharge? Maybe you thrive around people. Maybe you need a little me time, a little alone, introverted time. But either way, therapy can give you the self-awareness to build a social life that doesn't drain your battery. So things like tuning into yourself, feeling and understanding what you want and need yourself, and then being able to communicate that to those around you, and then most especially to yourself.
Well, if you can't get pregnant immediately, that sounds like a pretty good solution as a backup.
And again, I think I might have even said this before. If I could get pregnant, I would, just to understand what it's like to have even like boundless energy that
right.
can kind of propel me into
to feel
like,
as incredible as to, you could feel.
To exercise more, mm-hmm. to be working out like 3 hours a day.
Exactly.
Working 9 hours a day on top of that. And then
good
going,
brain.
Going out 2 hours. Yes, such a good brain on top of that. So if you're thinking about starting therapy, maybe give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. All you have to do is fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist, and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. If you don't like the first person you get, don't worry, there's another one on the docket. So find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/GoodChristianFun today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
10%?
.com/GoodChristianFun. You got some thoughts on that 10%?
That's a good deal.
It is.
The
I agree.
The first month?
And especially because 10% is where I'm feeling my battery is right now. That's BetterHelp.com/GoodChristianFun.
This HeadGum Podcast is brought to you by Aura Frames.
That is right.
From grandmothers to new mothers. Aunts, even the friends of your life, every mom loves an Aura Frame.
Holy shit, even aunts?
Yes, especially aunts.
Oh, well.
Because it was named the best digital photo frame by Wirecutter and selected as one of Oprah's favorite things. I mean, these Aura Frames are guaranteed to bring joy to moms of all ages.
I believe it.
You have an Aura Frame, don't you?
Yes, I actually more than believe it. I know it. I've got one for my mom, my mother-in-law, my grandmother-in-law.
And dare I say, your aunt?
And dare you say, my aunt and my aunt-in-law. Everyone's got one. Everyone loves them.
I mean, Mother's Day is right around the corner, and there's no better gift than a digital photo frame. You give them the frame. It's got preloaded pictures in there. And you know what? You can update it with an app. So every time you take a new picture of a sweet little person or place or thing in your life, it gets automatically sent to that frame.
Exactly.
And right now, Aura has a great deal for Mother's Day. Listeners can save on the perfect gift by visiting AuraFrames.com to get $30 off plus free shipping on their best-selling frame. Holy smokes.
Excellent deal.
Yeah, that's AuraFrames.com. You use the code HEADGUM at checkout to save.
HEADGUM. Nice.
Yes. HeadGum. It's easy to set up. It's loved by everybody, including Oprah, including your aunt.
Mm-hmm.
So do check them out. That's AuraFrames.com. Use code HeadGum at checkout to save.
Damn right.
And terms and conditions apply, of course.
Of course.
Thanks again to Aura.
Welcome back to Good Christian Fun. It's time for another game of Oh My God. All right. It's a game we played just 2 weeks ago, but was so popular, and the listeners have just been craving it again so much that we felt like we had to just do it again to satisfy you all.
Mm-hmm.
And it's and that's
you make your listeners sound so horny.
not true. although that might be a separate issue, but for anyone who might be listening for the first time, Oh My God is a game in which we chose three songs. And in this one, each of us chose one of the songs. So I chose a song, Caroline chose a song, and Kale chose a song as well. And we're going to listen to the song and deconstruct them on the air and their lyrics and investigate whether or not God's grace has overcome even the most sinful of songwriters. And if the songs are, despite fleshly intentions, actually secretly about God. And then we'll give it an oh my God, which is to say, it's not about God. It's taking the Lord's name in vain. And it's part of the fallen world. Or we'll give it an oh my God, confirming that Christ is working in these broken vessels. And the song is actually about our one true Lord, the Lord over COVID-19, our Lord Jesus Christ. So I think it'd be fun if we started with Kale's song for this one. So Kale, what song did you bring for us to play?
So I chose the song Careful by Paramore. And the reason I was intrigued by this song is because of the role that it plays in the narrative of Paramore's breakup.
Ooh.
Paramore's a band with a lot of lineup changes. People have come and gone. And this breakup in particular was because, I want to say, the drummer and the bassist, I'm going to get the facts wrong here probably, but they left the band because they felt as though the band had stepped away from its original Christian vision of songwriting.
Oh.
And this song in particular was a contentious song. And I also think is just, I love this game because growing up Christian, you're always playing this game to try to like convince yourself that what you're listening to is okay to listen to. You're like, actually, Hit Me Baby One More Time is about like asking God to give you like challenges that you can overcome.
That's right. Bring on more suffering, God. I can take it.
I can take it.
Hit your worst.
Hit Me Baby One More Time. Okay, let's listen to let's listen to a clip of Careful by Paramore. That's Careful by Paramore. I've texted you guys the lyrics in our Zoom chat if you want to look at those or if you can. But yes, it is I settled down a twisted up frown disguised as a smile. Well, you would have never known. Like very emo core, right? Is this technically an emo band, Paramore? Okay.
Yeah, this is like, and this is them in like peak, I want to say like Warped Tour.
Yes, 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 yes. Thank you, Vans. I had it all, but not what I wanted, because hope for me was a place uncharted and overgrown. You'd make your way in. I'd resist you just like this. I mean, listen, who amongst us? You can't tell me to feel the truth. Never set me free, so I did it myself. Now, this is interesting, because this feels like this is the controversial line, as I understand it, right? Because, of course, this is referring to the truth will set you free, what Jesus said. And this is her saying, it didn't set me free, so I did it myself. This is me kind of choosing my own religion. And this was kind of the fulcrum lyric for the guys that they were like, wait, we're not Christian anymore.
I mean, on first glance, definitely from a surface perspective, it does feel like she just took a Bible verse and then wrote the opposite.
The truth didn't set me free. So God,
Jesus did not weep, he smiled.
In the beginning, there was actually no words.
God actually hated the world. He thought it was dumb. So there's an interview that they did in which Haley addressed a specific line. And she said, the one line goes, the truth never set me free, so I'll do it myself. We're in a situation where we're still young and it's hard being the ones who are going out and doing something a little different to other people our age. Some friends are going to college and some are at home who are like, I don't know what I'm doing. It's a case of where people expect things to fall into their lap. You have to take risks to find out what you want. So she's actually maintaining that it is not about like, I'm absolving myself of the Christian faith. That is about like lifestyle choices, about being in a band instead of going to college. Which I guess maybe, I don't know.
Huh.
How did it strike you guys? That's not how it struck me viscerally, where I'm like, oh, this is actually about not going to UPenn or something.
Well, I have to say, first of all, props to Kevin for bringing the acting chops to that quote read, because it really did feel like Haley was in the room with us.
Mm-hmm.
So I appreciate that. But I feel like this is the mental gymnastics that I was talking about of like convincing yourself, because I could see, you know, she's talking about like overthrowing things and other people telling her what to do. And it's just a question of who is she talking to? Who is she talking about? And is it the world? Is it like religion? Or is it, I guess, an option I hadn't considered, is it her college career counselor who's telling her to apply to UPenn because they have a really good nursing program?
I guess so. Because she's still a Christian. Haley says she's still a Christian, I believe. So she didn't leave the faith, I guess. I don't know. But
I don't know, yeah.
But that was the case.
I always forget that she was that this was like a Christian band, because the only connection I had to Paramore for a long time was that my Christian high school, like the girl with kind of like scene hair, loved Paramore and would talk about it all the time. And she was really fun and cool. And I tried to listen to it because it's like, she's cool. And then it was like, this time, gotta say, not for me. But I always
blast,
like
this, the blast, the speakers blasted you back against the wall of your room.
I mean,
but it's cool. Like I still like it. But I'd forgotten that they were Christian. I always assumed because this cool, like edgy girl liked them, that they were like not a Christian band. But that's probably why she listened to them, is because like her parents also allowed her to.
Which, so, by the way, is every Christian's dream as well. Is like to have Caroline's perception of like, I thought they were so cool they couldn't be Christian because cool people like them. That's what Newsboys wanted. That's what DC Talk wanted. That's what Paramore actually had. I know they feel like they're different musically and genre-wise, but it feels kind of similar to like Evanescence stuff in that sense, especially because they're like, we're Christians in a band, we're not a Christian band, blah, 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 that whole dance.
Mm-hmm.
So now, you know, wow, considering the lyrics and considering all the context, now's the time in which we give it an oh my God or an oh my God. So Kale, you brought it. So let's start with you. Is this a Christian song or not?
I'm going to say the path of the righteous man is beset on all sides. And so I'm gonna go with oh my God.
Ooh.
Did I do that right? That's actually very hard to do correctly.
Well, it's just a pause between oh and my, I think.
Okay. In that case, I think I nailed it. Thank you for the
note. Crush it. You crush it, bro. Yeah, for sure. Okay.
Wait, so secular?
No, he's saying oh my God. That's the Christian.
My God.
One.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Caroline, what do you think it is?
I don't know. It's hard. I feel like I needed more of an interpreter for it, because it feels like she's having an argument and I can't hear what the other person is saying to her, really. So I'm sort of unsure of like what it is. But I think from what you all have just talked about and explained, she's like kind of trying to talk about being like a little bit more of a cool, connected, worldly Christian.
Mm-hmm.
I like the line that says, open your eyes like I opened mine. It's only the real world and a life you will never know.
Dad.
Yeah, that's cool. You know, it's like, it's maybe pushing you to be a little bit more of a, you know, of the people kind of Christian, to embed yourselves in the lives of others and to grow a little beard, get a little dirt on your hands, you know? Take off that collared shirt and try on a tank top and see what's going on out in the world. And
you so, put on a white t-shirt and a denim jacket and grow out that hair and slick it back. Kevin,
I'm listening.
Oh, yeah.
No, I promise the listener, I will never slick my hair back. I promise. I won't ever do that.
Yeah, so oh my God.
Okay, listen, I think I have to give an oh my God as well, because I think following her intention and then trying to contextualize it with everything she's saying, and maybe she was being obtuse in the interviews and maybe not, but like, I think this does strike me as one of those more like honest Christian songs where like it did become a little more chic or in vogue, especially for like Christian hip hop artists to be like, this sucks and this is weird, you know, and have like a different kind of perspective than like everything's great, do 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 do. And so I think she was reaching for something a little bit more interesting and more nuanced as a reflection of her own faith. So I give it, I think it's an honest song. I think it's a song, much like Caroline, it is not for me. I'm saying it's not for me in the same way it wasn't for me like Caroline. Not saying Caroline's not for me. Because if that were the
way that Caroline's not for me is equal to the song.
And speaking of Caroline, you've brought us a song for this round. What is the song you've brought us?
Yes. So the song I brought you is Rainbow by Kacey Musgraves.
Ooh, the from great the Golden Kacey Hour okay.
album. I don't know. Like, I've listened to this album so often, but I don't know if this is like a song people know in general.
Yeah. Well, let's take a listen to a little clip of Rainbow from Kacey Musgraves.
When it rains, it pours, but you didn't even notice. It ain't raining anymore. It's hard to breathe when all you know is the struggle of staying above the rising waterline. Well, the sky is finally open. The rain and wind stop blowing. But you're stuck out in the same old storm again. You hold tight to your umbrella. Well, darling, I'm just trying to tell ya that there's always been a rainbow hanging over your head.
Ooh, all right, Kacey. And this closes the album on Golden Hour. So it's a nice lullaby to take us out. So, Caroline, why is this or is this not a Christian song in your estimation?
This is a song written from the perspective of God to the original captain, Noah.
The original captain. Not Crunch, not Morgan.
The original cruise ship. Noah's Ark.
Number one captain.
Come along with me on a journey, if you'll remember. Noah was tasked with the job of creating a large boat to save all the animals and whatever good people were left, which weren't very many, before the flood came and wiped out the world, and how genocide is just fine if God does it. And so Noah did that, and once the floodwaters abated and finally they struck dry land once more, if my memory is serving me correctly, Noah went on kind of an alcoholic tear and like lived in a cave for a while and was like real bent out of shape. His family and presumably God had to really get him out of that funk and remind him that the rainbow is the promise that God will never kill us all again.
Mm.
Right?
Yeah. A promise he didn't break until this year.
He's never broken it once.
Wow, this is compelling, and especially because of the intrinsic, not even a leap, but just kind of the intrinsic theological nature of like a rainbow as a sign of hope and a promise of sorts, and then that functioning as the central metaphor of the song. There's always been a rainbow hanging over your head. Like, don't you know, I've always loved you. I've always been with you and I will be for all your days. That's kind of a similar thing. So I fully see that. This is a great submission for this game.
Thank you. When you've been in a struggle for a long time, like living with a pair of donkeys and never shut up, then you start to think that that's all that life is, you know, and your imagination gets smaller and smaller, and then you get in kind of a little bit of a funk. And you need to be reminded that God does rainbows.
God does rainbows. Kale, how's the strong side striking you as far as like possibly the Christian content of it or not?
So one thing I think that we're neglecting to talk about is the fact that rainbows are gay. And in rainbows are gay.
What's that?
And so in a modern context, I could see Caroline's argument making sense in the past, but in a modern context, I wonder if Casey had to know. Casey had to know that there's also a lot of symbolism around like queer liberation associated with rainbows. And that's not to say that queer liberation can't be Christian liberation, but that typically in our culture it's not. So that's just, I don't know. I wonder what her... But one thing that I think is so cool about Kacey Musgraves, and in this house we do stan Kacey, is like
as for me in my house, we will also stan the Musk.
We have to. That's a hill I will die on. I love a lot of her lyrics about nature and about connection to like creation, for lack of a better word, are so resonant about what it's like to be a human and to experience the like awe of nature, and whether or not you attribute that to like a god or not, I think is kind of left up to the listener. But I like Caroline's pitch of imagining this from the perspective of a deity. That's pretty dope. So I'm torn.
That it is actually about Noah. I love that.
Yeah, it's not really a universal kind of song. It's specifically for Noah, the man.
This is about the Torah at the end of the day. Kacey Musgraves. Well, and to this point, Kacey Musgraves is a bit of an LGBTQ ally, and I wouldn't say icon, but she's like
her and Taylor Swift.
She's no more than Taylor Swift, though. She is known for her queer audience. Like, there's a great big part of her fandom in her audience that identifies as a part of that community. So I do wonder if that's part of the subtext too. I love that. I love all these arguments, but I turn it back to Caroline. Caroline, is this "Oh My God" a secular song or "Oh My God" a Christian song?
As I've stated before, I think this is a Christian song by a Christian woman who loves to praise the Creator. Oh my God.
All right. Kale, what say you, buddy?
You know, I'm going to say that to me this song warrants an "Oh my God," but as my high school English teacher would say, the devil has no stories. So just because it is a secular song doesn't mean that it can't be used to tell God's story.
Oh my gosh. She would say the devil has no stories because they're all Christian at the end of the day.
Plagiarized?
Yeah, I think the perspective is like every story is a retelling of the one great story. So
I love that. Like Shakespeare, but
that
just
rocks.
God.
That rocks so much. All right, so it's an oh my God from you.
Yeah. And can I say, I need to investigate something in myself. Maybe this is the like teenager in me. Every time a song gets an "Oh my God," I'm like, yes. Feels like
culture
winning.
Win.
Yeah, it's either the Lord wins or culture wins. None of us can win this game. That we are not even playing particularly. But I'm going to give it an "Oh my God" because I'm an ally to the queer community. All right, next song is...
Oh, come on.
Which implies that Caroline is not. Thanks a lot, Caroline.
Or that you're not, Kale.
That's it. Yeah, and there's Kale. Obviously, bits aside, I'm pretty sure it is like an anthem for the gay community if they needed it. And she'd also written it for her, like herself, going through the hard time. But yeah, it's a great song.
All bits aside, I didn't realize that it was an anthem for the queer community until this conversation. And I've listened to this album a lot. So
I mean, I think it's supposed to be like kind of universal, but also it's like, well, yeah, you guys definitely get this one too.
Yeah,
it's like It's a rainbow, like you guys.
It's a rainbow. You guys like this
these
stuff.
These rainbows are for you.
What do straight people get in natural weather occurrences? Tornadoes? What do we get?
Swamps.
Swamps.
I think yeah, humidity.
Swamps. Can you imagine if that became like a straight pride flag just with a swamp on it?
It's just like a bog.
And listen, I'm draining that swamp all the time. All right, next song. Next song is, I have to imagine maybe there's a listener or two out there that I can find a little solidarity with on this. But the song I brought for this round is the hit by Miss Michelle Branch, Everywhere, which this was not something I had to seek out for this game specifically and be like, oh yeah, this could work. It's something that I truly, in my youth, did fight for in the sense of wanting to believe that it was a Christian song because of the lyrical content. So we'll play a little clip of that now.
It inside out so I can see.
See ya.
The part of you that's drifting over me. And when I wake, you're never there. And when I sleep, you're everywhere. You're everywhere.
That is Everywhere by Michelle Branch. Gang, what a glorious love letter to the omnipresence of our one true creator God. He is everywhere. And also, if it is about a boyfriend, it's strange. That's a strange
really
song.
Weird.
You're everywhere to me. Like because it is the language that we would use for like, some woman in Brazil saw Jesus in a piece of toast. He's everywhere. Like, it's the same thing. You're everywhere to me and reading too much of life events to be the creator. But that I mean, even from the jump, turn it inside out so I can see the part of you that's drifting over me. That's the Holy Spirit. When I wake, you're never there. He's an invisible God. When I sleep in, you're everywhere. When I sleep, you're everywhere. You're everywhere. Because he's, you know, he's the God of our dreams. You know, that's in the Bible, I guess. You're everywhere to me. When I close my eyes, it's you I see. You're everything I know. That makes me believe I'm not alone. No, I'm not alone. So it's either God or an alien.
Now, what do you make of the line of, and when I touch your hand, then I understand.
Oh, there's plenty of worship songs about like, I want to reach out and touch you, you know?
But your hand?
Yeah.
I think, so here's my take on that. I think that that is an intentional, direct, literal reference to Thomas feeling Christ's wounds
that's
when
right.
he returns.
That's right. That's right.
Interesting. Okay.
I love it.
So this is a song from the perspective of Thomas, or are all the disciples
think,
taking a
so
turn on the verses?
This is a wild claim,
taking
but
a turn.
I will make it.
Matthew, you're up. I recognize the way you make me feel.
I think that this song is the entire gospel narrative, and maybe even the whole Bible, because in the first verse,
I love that.
We're really, it feels like the God of the Old Testament, a Yahweh that you don't know the name of, but he is powerful. Then we get introduced to, what is it? I try to wash the pain away from me. The water's getting deep. This is John the Baptist evangelizing.
Come on now.
Interesting.
So I think this is the Bible in 3.5 minutes and with a key change, which Jesus never did as far as I know.
You always light my way. I hope there never comes a day, no matter where I go, I always feel you. So you light my way? Would either of you say that about your romantic partners? They light your way? Come on, you'd say that about your Lord.
Absolutely not.
Yes. If anything, they darken it sometimes on accident. They dim it.
Such a weird song if it's romantic. You know, here's the thing. I was with you, Kevin, all the way. All the way. Till the very end. The last few words she utters. Do you see me? Yeah. Now, that's a funny question to ask the Lord, who you know is omnipresent. You know he sees your every move, your every sleeping hour, your every waking moment. You know he sees you.
Now,
if you're a believer.
Well, the thing I would say about this, Caroline, is that who amongst us hasn't gone through, even if God exists, do they even care about me? Do they even see where I'm at? Even if I believe in them, do they believe in me? I feel like that's a very honest plea. It's a note of uncertainty. It ends on a 4-chord, not a 1-chord, this song, or maybe a 5-chord.
No, I think that's a literal, do you see me? You know, like
hello.
Yeah, like, do you need some glasses?
I'm over here, God.
God, come and get it.
That brings me back into, this is, I guess, like, perhaps a blind man she's in love with or something like that. Or maybe a very popular jock who doesn't give her the time of day.
Oh, like a celebrity who's like on a lot of billboards on the Sunset Strip. But his life is going so well that he barely has the time for her.
Yeah, but she sees him everywhere. Ooh. In every
Marvel
movie.
I think Caroline is close to something. I think that this is a blind celebrity. This is an ode to Stevie Wonder.
Everywhere by Michelle Branch, canonically about Stevie Wonder.
I mean, his music is really important.
Yeah, no,
she goes into a coffee shop.
Really,
Superstition is playing.
Yeah. Do-do-do-do, you're everywhere. Yeah, I get that.
It's really life-changing.
Okay, YouTube search, Stevie Wonder everywhere, cover. Interesting. Okay. Well, I brought this song, so I'm going to rate it first. I think it's a clear, oh my God. It's definitely a Christian song. It makes way more sense as a Christian song than it does about like a partner you see everywhere. And I read the article. She said it was about a breakup. And then like he kind of like haunted her memory. And like everything she saw reminded her of him. But I don't buy it. It's
Authorial intent is dead. That's not really a factor.
Thank you.
It doesn't matter.
Yeah, that doesn't matter at all. Kale, we turn to you. What is this song?
I was also convinced ahead of time, even after the discussion, which helped to cement my perspective that this is an oh my God, because I did, as a child, make the same argument to my family. I was like, this song on the radio is a one I'm allowed to listen to, and here's why.
Absolutely. Caroline, what about you?
All right. Well, clearly you guys spark noted this song. You did not get to the end. You did not catch on to the part that this is about Stevie Wonder or someone like that for her, who she was very close to and knows her very well. And she's also obsessed with him. Like, it's crazed, this song that she has, and he can't see her. And that's tragic.
Oh, my Lord.
Oh, my God.
Wait, that's you. No, oh my God.
Oh my God. Oh, I'm sorry, Kevin. Oh my God.
I'm just asking. I just want to make sure you were voting your conscience like Ted Cruz told us all to do. Great. Oh man, what another spirited round of debate. I love everyone's arguments. And I do love the ownership that happens when each person brings their own song. And coming in with a preloaded thesis statement.
Really defensive.
Yeah. No, I want to make people feel very defensive and attacked and divided on this show. So mission freaking accomplished, I guess.
Kale, you did a good job.
Yeah, well, that's not hard to do with me. So I can see why you brought me back.
All right. And that's been Oh My God.
Holy.
I know, that's what it sounds like. Holy.
Are you Lord God?
Wait, Caroline, can you do your Michael W. Smith impression real quick? I just like it a lot.
Holy, holy, are you Lord God?
He sounds like such a little kid when you do
it. He does sound like a little kid.
He's a little chipmunk.
Holy, precious.
Are you Lord God? Almighty.
Oh, boy. Kale, you have any CCM musician impressions before we close out?
Oh, boy, I don't. But I was just re-listening to the Chris Rice song Cartoons, What If Cartoons Got Saved? And he
Yabba Dabba Luya.
Yeah, Yabba Dabba. It's hard to say, it turns out. If you're looking for CCM impressions, that's the place to go. I'll cede to Chris Rice.
Episode 3 of this show, we were on that.
Yeah, that was hardcore early GCF right there.
I love that. Okay, well, let's do it, gang. We're doing over Zoom, but all of us in our safely quarantined houses are dimming our lights and lighting the candles around us and entering into a worshipful space where, despite it being a worshipful space, maybe someone will come out and do a silly bit in character and kind of workshop their own material in the midst of it.
I do think that they should do a bit where they do CCM artist impressions. I think that would actually, one, be appropriate, and two, would kill.
Yeah, well, one guy, maybe at this church Kale was talking about, one guy did do a human video one Sunday, and it was very funny. Because that actually feels apropos in the way he framed it and his story.
Yeah.
It worked.
Although then we're now in Christian comedy territory, which is not great. You know, that's not what we're trying to be.
Guys, and everyone here at the GCF podcast hopes John Christ is having the best quarantine of his life as he's been quarantined away from his career.
Send him donations. Yeah, he's probably missing out on his stadium tour right now.
Oh, very sad. Thoughts and prayers with him. Kale, you've been on the show. You know how this works. We don't promote ourselves. That's the way of man. We lift ourselves up, and we lift up what we're working on to the Lord. And maybe something that during this time, during lockdown, that is comforting to us, something we're watching or listening to, or even reading if we want to be snooty-tooty about it. So we'll start with Caroline, as per usual.
You can lift me up at Caroline's Farts, and I'm going to lift up some comic books I read. Compliments of Books with Pictures Eugene, which is a comic book store. They gave me some suggestions and they were great, so I bought them from there.
Are they local?
Give them a little bit of support.
Are they in LA?
Eugene,
store?
Oregon, I think.
Oh.
You can buy them online. And I read Miss Marvel, not Captain Marvel, Miss Marvel. And she's like
the marvelous
a Muslim.
Miss Marvel.
Yeah, it's called the Marvelous Mrs. Marvel, Caroline.
And she's like a Muslim teen that gains superpowers, and it's sort of an interesting story and a new take on the Marvel U, which, yeah, you know, I love.
Hey, wow, this will be cool because Disney Plus, I believe, is for real doing a Miss Marvel TV show. So
no way.
So you,
oh, that'll be good.
You will finally get to be one of those people that was like, well, in the comic,
wow,
here's
I'll
how
be
it
ahead
happens.
Of it. Oh, gosh. That's going to feel crazy. That's too much power.
No one woman should have all that power. And then where can people lift you up? Any fun TikToks going on?
No, my TikTok's been dead. I'm working on it. I've got like a long draft in the works.
This is Caroline's King Lear for lockdown.
Yeah, this is my quarantine gift.
At Caroline's Farts everywhere.
I said it at the top.
You did? I'm sorry. Kevin. I do that all the time. Gosh.
Yeah, you've done it like a couple times.
That's
okay.
That scares me.
I just feel weird correcting you.
No, no, you should. No, let the record show. I won't edit
this. I should get
my
name brand out there as often as possible. Yeah. I should just let it ride.
Listen, the merch is coming. Girl, wash your farts. We turn it to Kale.
You can lift me up at, if you Google Kale Hills, there's only one of me, so you'll find my Twitter and Instagram that way very easily.
There is only one of you.
There's only one. My improv team, Pony, does a live streaming show almost every Monday at 6 p.m. Pacific, 9 p.m. Eastern. You can find us on YouTube and subscribe to be notified whenever we go live.
Yeah. Friend of the show, Matt Apodaca, also a part of that team, right?
Yes. Yeah. Wonderful people on that team. So some great podcast faves like Sean Diston and Oscar Montoya. Mm-hmm. And then just beautiful hearts otherwise.
Great gowns. Beautiful gowns.
Yeah. Yeah. Some podcast faves and some podcasts.
And some others.
And some other people who aren't on podcasts.
Podcast
and
people
have no
and
value.
Civilians. Yeah. Yeah. I understand.
Yeah.
And not heroes.
People who don't get clapped for every night. And then another thing that I would love to recommend to people is a really funny, lighthearted show that's on Hulu but was originally on the BBC called This Country, which is like a mockumentary written by a real-life brother and sister based on their time growing up in the rural English countryside. And it's so funny, and it's so fun to see, because I think our perception of the UK generally skews towards, like, I don't know, a more posh point of view, and this show is about the, like, white trash people who live in the UK, and it's very very, very funny.
Cute.
Hell yeah. Well, thank you, Kale. You can lift me up at Kevin T. Porter everywhere. Gosh, what to lift up? I've been reading a lot of The New Yorker lately, a lot of The Washington Post. Heard of it. The New York Times, the Los Angeles Times, who furloughed everybody for at least one day of pay per week. Very sad, but... if you want to do this to yourself, you can watch that Her Smell movie. That's a nice time. Her Smell, starring Scientologist extraordinaire Elizabeth Moss. That felt like a nice, fun version of an Uncut Gems to me. That was like obviously it's not totally that, but you know, check it out. I think it's on HBO now. You can watch that.
I didn't know it was fun. I thought it was like...
Oh, it's brutal. No, it's mostly not fun. It's pretty...
Okay.
It's not like gross, like body horror or something like that. But it's like, it's dark, but it's pretty much the Elizabeth Moss... It's truly like, what if Elizabeth Moss played the Joker? Which is like very good. Like, it's so funny to watch her career too, because when she started on the West Wing, she was like 5 years old, and she was okay, and now she's like... She's like totally Melissa McCarthy'd out from that cast and is like such a great actress. So you can watch that. And then you can lift us up at Christian Fun Pod everywhere. You can go to patreon.com/goodchristianfun for more good Christian fun every week. On Friday, we release new episodes. But again, it's tough times, so vote your conscience with that, as Ted Cruz told us to.
Oh, gosh. I will also say, you know, it just occurred to me the other day. It's pretty impressive that on that second service, we do something different just about every time. Great programming by Kevin. But, you know, it just keeps it variety. Like, we could have just had a certain script that we do every week, and, you know, you'd get used to it or whatever. But we're just spicing it up every week, and yeah. I'm giving myself a horn toot for that.
Yeah, and I'll give you a horn toot for it as well. Thank you.
Thank you.
And I'll give you a horn toot as well, Kale, so you don't feel left out.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome. And then leave us a review on Apple Podcasts. Every review you leave, we donate a dollar to charity. And this month's charity, like last month's charity, is all the local food banks. That's who we're donating to this month, because they need it. Kale, thank you again so much for joining us on the show, buddy. What a nice time.
Thank you, guys. Lovely to see you.
What a nice way to reconnect and get some quality FaceTime with you.
Yes.
Always a privilege. See you, Kale. Thank you, guys.
All right. And there's nothing left to say except for an all of Pod's people said... Amen. All right, let's go out with the most Christian song of all time. This is Everywhere by Michelle Branch, who has gone on to do many, many great songs that we all know to this day.
She pivoted to country like a lot of people do for their second act, and it's okay.
And it's okay.
She Lady Gaga, do you mean?
You say that as if Lady Gaga likes that she did that. Like, Joanna was like something that she doesn't regret, kind of. I like Joanna, too.
I don't think she does regret it. It's Joanne, by the way. Joanna.
Oh, I love Joanna.
I like Joanna.
I love Joanna. It's my favorite album. All right. We'll see you next week. Goodbye.
Bye-bye. 'Cause you're everywhere to me.
That was a HeadGum Podcast.